Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Happy Thursday, everyone, and Happy New Year. I'm your host, Emily Francis. Welcome to All About Healing. And for nearly 7 years, I have been hosting this show faithfully every Wednesday. This is our first show opening up the new year and changing days to Thursday. So thank you for coming with me, and thank you for new listeners. I can't wait to kick off this new year and new show with my dream guest, I have to say. Today's show is a full circle moment for me personally. Many years ago, I want to say maybe like 15, maybe even 20 years ago, I was writing my very first book. It was a self-published book that took me years of my life. I was struggling so bad, I was so lost, and I picked up a book called Conversations with God, and I started reading the book while I was writing my own book, and I wrote to the author. If you don't know who that author is, it is Neil Donald Walsh. But I wrote him a letter telling him my anguish and all of my anxiety and how lost I was in my life. And I didn't hear back right away, but sometime later, I got a call out of the blue, if you believe in out of the blue, from the Lime Radio channel where Neil hosted a show. And they brought me on a Thanksgiving episode to tell my story. And in that show, Neil offered, send me the part of your book and I'll write the foreword or do an endorsement. And I cannot tell you, it changed. It just put the fire under me. I finished the book. I sent it off. And sometime later, I ended up with a very kind endorsement to that book. That book ended up not staying on the shelves long. It has its own story, but Neil Donald Walsh was such a part of my journey. And now, all these years later, he's a guest on this show today. So, Neil Donald Walsh, without further ado, welcome to All About Healing. I'm so happy to have you on.
Thank you, Emily. It's sweet of you to invite me, and I'm really delighted to be here. How may I serve you?
Well, mostly I want to share your new book with the audience so that people can not just get the book, but learn the messages. So let's start with, the title is God Talk, Experiences of Humanity's Connections with a Higher Power. And Neil, I'm going to let you tell the audience what this book has meant and what it's about.
Well, you know, through the years, I've been asked one question more frequently than any other. And the question that I've been asked by audiences everywhere and in emails and, you know, letters that I get is, Neil, can I have my own conversation with God? And if I can, how can I do that? How can I have my own conversation with God? And, you know, I try to answer every email I get and every letter I get. But then a publisher called me, which is very unusual. Normally, when you write a book, you try to find a publisher. Publishers don't normally call you. It's only happened to me once in my life with this particular book, because my phone rang about a year and a half ago, and it was a publishing company. And they said, would you be interested in writing a book for us? And I said, well, golly, what did you have in mind? And what they wanted to do was to have me write a book about how people might have their own conversation with God. No guarantee, of course. There's never a guarantee that anything like that supernatural will occur. but at least is there a step-by-step way that people might approach the process? I said, you know what, I'd be very happy to do that because I can share with people the step-by-step process that I used in my own life. So I wrote the book, and it took about, it came through very quickly. We finished it in about 4.5 or 5 weeks, and I sent it off to the publisher, and by golly, they put it out. They did something really unusual, Emily. They also went online, and they invited people around the world. If anyone else has had a supernatural experience of connection with the divine, to send in their story. And they received it. They told me later they received hundreds, literally hundreds of emails from people all over the world. So they picked out the 7 or 8 of what they thought were the most interesting ones and included it in this book. So the book is really in two parts. Part one is my story and how I approached having my conversations with God and how people might want to do the same thing. And part two, the 7 or 8 stories from people who've had their own experiences of connection with the divine. So, you know, it's been a lovely, lovely adventure, and that's the story behind the book.
I love that. And it says that you share a 6-step process that you use. Like, were you aware that you had 6 steps, or did you look back later and go, these are the things that I do when I'm speaking, when we are communicating?
That's what happened. I didn't have a formal 6-step process, but just exactly what you described, Emily. I looked back to see, well, you know, how did that work for me? How did that happen in my life? You know, what was I doing? And what could cause that to occur, possibly at least, in the life of another person? So, yes, looking back on it, I realized that there were certain things, certain steps that I took intuitively, one after the other, and that's what I put in this particular book.
You know, I do think that anybody that gets on a faithful, deep, cherished, spiritual path with the divine always has a story of how that came to be. Because I don't think that somebody, I don't think it's taught to us. I don't think that somebody says, this is how you pray and this is how you hear the response. Like, there's a quote from Lily Allen that says, why is it when we pray to God, we're religious, but when God talks back, we're schizophrenic? You know, there's a conversation, and that conversation is not just us yapping all the time. And I can't imagine now feeling alone. Do you know what I mean? I know you know what I mean.
Yes, I do, and I can tell you why we feel schizophrenic, because both the religious community, that is, people who are deeply involved in theology, and there are now over 4,000 faith traditions, 4,000 religions being practiced in the world today. But so people in the religious community and people also in the psychiatric community, if you please, counselors and psychiatrists, by and large, not exclusively, but by and large, tell us that God doesn't, you know, if you think that you're hearing God's voice, then either you're a blasphemer, or you're an apostate, or you're a heretic, or, in fact, you're, you know, having a psychological problem. So we have a cultural bias against the idea that we can hear the voice of God specifically, and so that's why people feel that they may be schizophrenic, because the cultural bias says, God isn't really talking to you. It's just your imagination. And I'm sorry that's the prevailing notion out there, because it's not, of course, true. God speaks to us all the time. I was told in my conversation with God, because I asked the question, why me? Why would you talk to me? You know, what's this about? And God said, Neil, sweetheart, I talk to everyone all the time. The question is not, to whom am I speaking? The question is, who's listening?
Oh, wow. That's really powerful. And I believe that. I do believe that with all my heart. Because I feel like I walk around in constant communication so much of the time. But I still have those moments where, did I really feel that response? Did I hear that response? I do think people accept the conversation differently, however they can tune in, if you will. But you actually hear, right?
Yes, I agree with you completely. And when I said to God, because of course I asked even that question, I said, how do I know this is not my imagination? And the response I got immediately was, why wouldn't I use your imagination? I would use every other tool that's available to both of us. Why would I not use your imagination? Where do you suppose Mozart's music came from? Where do you suppose Michelangelo's art came from? Where do you suppose any great creation has come from, if not from your imagination? So, of course, it could very well be your imagination, and that doesn't mean you should write it off as meaningless, because it is from your imagination, often, that great accomplishments, great ideas can be expressed and be placed into the world. So, I allow myself to agree with God that, you know, maybe it is my imagination, but I should make this point very clear. Emily, I didn't sit down to write a book. I wasn't trying to produce a bestseller or write a book about my experience. I was having a very private, very personal, sacred experience. It never occurred to me in a gazillion years that anyone else would ever be privy to what was occurring between me and the God of my understanding. But in that very first conversation, about one third of the way through it, as it happens, I was told, Neil, you will make of this one day a book, and it will be accessed by many people. And I thought to myself, that's not going to happen. No publisher is going to publish a book because a guy claims that God is talking to him and that he's talking back to God and that they're having a conversation. That's not going to happen. But you know, I sent my handwritten notes to a stenographer. She typed them all up. We sent it to two or three publishers, you know, publishing houses, just to see what would happen. And I sent it on a dare. Really, honestly, I was daring God in a sense. I said, okay, you said it's going to be published. We'll see about that. And by golly, if one of those publishers, it was a small publishing house on the East Coast of the United States. It wasn't a major publishing house like Random House or Putnam, but it was a small publishing house, but they liked the material, and they said, we're going to put this book out. And I couldn't believe it. I said, you're kidding me. And the publisher said, no, it's a great, great fictional idea. It's a great work of fiction, and people are going to love it, about a man who's, you know, having an argument and a conversation with God. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. This is not a work of fiction. Now, the publisher said to me, Neil, are you telling me you think this actually happened to you in real life? We thought it was just a work of fiction. I said, no. This is my actual experience. And the publisher said, well, okay, we can put it out as a non-fiction book, but you're not going to find 500 readers, because people aren't going to buy a book because some guy claims to be talking back and forth with God. See, you're not going to find 500 readers, but we're going to put it out because it's interesting material. And he was right. The publisher was right on, he hit the nail on the head. It did not find 500 readers. It found 5 million. Not bragging.
I remember
just saying.
This. Because, you know, Neil, in this particular story that you're talking about, you were picked up by a very small publisher, and at the time was a publisher I would have chased. And you are one of the only, if not the only, author I've heard of that published originally with one publishing house, and then a bigger publisher came and bought the rights. That's what happened, right?
Yes, yeah, the Putnam Publishing Company, when they saw, you know, the sales figures, because the book, again, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying what happened. The book hit the New York Times bestseller list 7 weeks after it came out, and it wound up on the New York Times list for a year and a half. And somewhere along the way, the people at the Putnam Publishing Company called this small publisher on the East Coast and said, you know, we'd like to publish this book and give it wider distribution, which our company can do. And so they bought the book from the smaller publishing house, Hampton Roads, and then they put it out globally in 37 languages.
I mean, I remember, I read your Hampton Roads. That's the copy that I read, was when it was out with Hampton Roads, and early in, because I was ravenous for spiritual information. I was on my own path that was breaking wide open, and I was reading anything I could get my hands on that made me feel like I wasn't so alone in a very big, overwhelming spiritual epiphany come to life. You know, everything in my life had changed, and I didn't have people standing on the sides helping me along. And you were so important to me in that respect, because that's the dream of every publisher, or every author, I mean, that if you do get a small publishing house, that it doesn't have to always stay that way.
I was amazed. I never dreamt of such a thing. When Putnam put it out, you know, it was a dream come true. Not that I had dreams of being a best-selling author, but a dream come true in the sense that I realized that if people could be touched by this material in the way that I was touched, it could perhaps be beneficial to more people than just one, to more people than just me. And that was a very sweet thing for me to contemplate. And as it turned out, based on the mail that I received and, you know, the reaction that I've gotten from readers, apparently other people have felt benefited by the material as well. And I'm very grateful. I'm humbly grateful.
I'm one of those people that wrote the letters. Now, I have a question, and this is it might be an odd question, but I know that you'll understand my purpose in asking it. When I was going through coming into my own in a spiritual sense, I struggled with using the actual word God. I felt like that was almost a taboo word. Like I could somehow say spirit or universe or other things, but it felt at first overwhelming, then humbling, and then finally comfortable to address it as God instead of some other replacement word. Did you ever go through something like that, or am I... This can't be the first time anybody asked that.
Well, you know, I didn't, to be honest with you. I didn't go through that particular passage. I felt very comfortable based on the early interactions that I was having in what turned out to be, you know, the first 25 or 30 pages of what became that book. The material that I was receiving felt very true to me, very real to me, very honest to me, very helpful to me, and eye-opening in many, many ways. So I personally did not have a challenge with it. I thought I must be talking to God here. I mean, God, I'm sure. And one of the early questions that I asked, as I said a minute ago, was, why me? And when I realized, that was very early in the conversation, when I realized that God is talking to everyone all the time. Oh, and by the way, not in the same exact way. Maybe it's in the form of a conversation. Maybe it's what we call women's intuition. Or some people call it an epiphany. Or some people might say, I had a brilliant idea yesterday, standing in the shower stall, or whatever. So we have different ways of describing the way the universe communicates with us, the way God communicates with us. And again, I will say that God will use any device. The chance utterance of a friend who we happen to run into on the street that we haven't seen in 5 years. Or the overheard conversation in a coffee shop that happens to be on the exact topic we have been considering in our own mind. Or the words on a billboard as we're driving down the highway. And we turn, you know, around the curve, and there are 20 words on a billboard that again address something we've been concerned about. Or the lyrics of the next song you hear on the radio. Or in fact, it could be a back and forth conversation. But God is communicating with us all the time. So, you know, our opportunity is to stay awake, don't miss the signals, and don't write them off as if they were meaningless. But no, to answer your question again directly, I did not have a level of discomfort calling it God, because I thought, where else could this kind of wisdom be coming from?
I love that. I appreciate that. I definitely struggled with the word, but that's my own, that was my own thing. Now, we have to take a quick commercial break, but don't worry, everybody. Neil is not leaving us. We will be right back.
Don't count on it. I'm out of here. Goodbye, everyone.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. If you're just tuning in, I'm your host, Emily Francis, and our guest is Neil Donald Walsh, author of...
Are you a saintly person, a really wonderful person, Emily? Do people call you Saint Francis?
No. No, but that is my patron saint, because that's the patron saint of animals.
Well, I'll call you Saint Francis from now on.
Oh, how kind. How kind. Yes, St. Francis is my favorite, of Assisi. That is my favorite, actually. There's two St. Francises, St. Francis Xavier and St. Francis Assisi, but Assisi is my man right there. But we have Neil Donald Walsh on the show today, and we're talking God talk, all things God talk. And Neil, you also, not just Conversations with God and many books following, but may I ask you about being part of The Secret?
Well, yes, again, I was called by the producers of that movie, the movie The Secret, and they asked me, would I appear in the film? I said, well, sure, if you think it would serve the project and serve the public, I'll be happy to do that. So they came to my hometown. I live in Southern Oregon, and they rented a hotel suite and called me over there, you know, on a couple of days' notice. And we sat down in front of the cameras, and they said, okay, we're rolling, and they did the interaction with me, which wound up being in the film. And so it was, you know, it was an interesting experience, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to move this message forward through that process.
I watched it so many times. I love when you say, and by golly, like, I loved your energy. I remember being on the treadmill and watching it over and over and just feeling it. You and Michael Bernard Beckwith, both of your voices to me, they soothe me in my heart when I hear both of you speaking. And those were by far my favorite parts. Although I loved all of The Secret, those were the parts that I kept rewinding, if you will. Because I really loved hearing your message and the energy and the sound of your voice while you're delivering that message is important. It's an energy, and I could feel it.
Well, I'm glad it serves you, and I'm glad you felt it in a beneficial way. Michael has turned into, at that time we did not know each other well, but now we've become very wonderful friends. Years have gone by. He's invited me to his church to speak. And we've had a lovely, lovely collegial friendship through the years. He's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful human being. But thank you for telling me that. It's interesting to hear your point of view about how you experienced my appearance in that movie.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I do, so I'm by trade, besides writing books that definitely not have the same pathway, but I have published 6 professionally published books since you and I first spoke on the Lime Channel, which I'm very honored to have out into the world. But by trade, I'm a clinical massage therapist, and I work with people post-cancer treatment. And the way that I can feel people in their body, it is like a radio tuner when I have my hands on someone. And that's how I know where they're at energetically and emotionally, because different songs will play in my head. So I'm more of a tone type of person. So when I say I watched you on The Secret and that when you were speaking there was a vibration, it was a different vibration than just the sound of the voice. It was really magnificent, and I'm thrilled for you. I'm thrilled for everything that's come out for you, and I'm thrilled that I'm in this full circle moment, and I'm trying to just be really present with it, that I have you all to myself for this time. And then get to share it, because this is pre-recorded. So right now it's just us, and then next week anybody who tunes in gets to share in this magic. But for me, in this moment, I just relish getting to speak directly you and me, because you were a bigger part of my journey than you would know, obviously. But you were, and you have been, and I'm thrilled. So in that. But I love that you got to be part of The Secret. I think The Secret was fantastic. I think the person that created it was brilliant, and I would love to see more things like that, more collaborations with people with their voices that can carry, because especially right now, I think people really need to know that they are not alone.
I couldn't agree with you more. That is profoundly true in my experience, and I'm glad, as I said a minute ago, that your experience of the film, The Secret, proved to be beneficial to you, and I agree with you, and thank you, by the way, for being a conduit, one of those people who help us bring this message to larger numbers of people, because we're going to a place now where we're reaching critical mass with the number of people who are clear about what's really true about life, who we really are, what is the purpose and function of all of this, and when we reach that level of critical mass, the first domino is going to fall, and I think we're going to see some major sociological, theological, and philosophical shifts taking place in our human community all over the world. And it could even change some major behaviors, both of governments and individuals, industrialists, people in the corporate world, and performing artists everywhere all over the world. So I think I see a new tomorrow on its way because of, frankly, not to throw roses back and forth, but because of people like you who are putting the word out there, putting the message in front of people. And I agree profoundly with what you said a moment ago, that now is a time when it's really needed by the people on our planet.
You know, in 2020, I left the United States and I've never lived abroad. I'm not a traveler by nature. I'm not a wanderlust kind of person. I've never left my mom. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done. But I moved with my husband and children and four animals across the sea to the Mediterranean. I live on the island of Malta. So here we are on our show right now, and I'm in Malta, and you are in Oregon, and Jay, our producer, is in California, and we're making this triangle even now. But moving to the Mediterranean and taking a blind leap, we didn't even visit. We moved during COVID and started an entire new life for ourselves. And what I have experienced over here is joy and passion beyond anything I have ever met in person in my own heart since being here. It's really, it's amazing. So I do really have that message that there's always another opportunity somewhere for you to fill your space in the world. And if you aren't if you aren't in the space and it doesn't sit with you and it doesn't bring your heart delight, I do invite you that's listening to redirect and open up to God to see if there is other places where you could fill your space in the world with more of what you're looking for, more of what brings you alive.
And you know what you said a moment ago really was fascinating, because you talked about that you're over there in Malta and your producer is in California and I'm up here in Southern Oregon. You know what? My friend, 15 or 20 years ago, such a thing would not even have been possible, which points to what I said a minute ago. We have created a space now in the world, including the advances that we've achieved in technology. You know, the platform that we're using right now with three people involved in three different parts of the world, we couldn't have done this 25 years ago. It just would not have been possible. So we have created the technology. We've created a deeper understanding. We've come up with the clarity about the message, and we've come up with ways to share that message and touch thousands of people across the globe. And that's part of the process by which we are reaching critical mass, and I think that that's going to be happening very soon in the next 20 or 30 years, which doesn't feel like soon to some people, 20 or 30 years, but in the overall scheme of things, you know, in the pathway of humanity across the centuries, you know, 15 or 20 or 25 years is a very short period of time. It's the snap of a finger in terms of eternity. So within these next few years upcoming, we're going to reach critical mass because of people like your producer in California. You're over there in Malta. I'm over here in Southern Oregon. And because of the fact that we have something important to share with other people, which is, just as you pointed out, Emily, there's always another path. There's always another way. There's always another opportunity. We are not reaching a dead end. We are reaching the beginning of a new way of being human. And that's true for all of us.
Well, actually, we have to take a commercial break, but I have an interesting question that's probably odd, which I think is nice. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to ask my odd question when we come back.
Trauma or joy, shame or happiness, guilt or empowerment. Let Emily's new book, Healing Ourselves Whole, be the bridge to help you release negative emotions to help you heal on every level to create more joy, more health, and more vitality. Our body knows what we might forget. It's time to rearrange your inner conversation into spectacular health and happiness, and Healing Ourselves Whole is your step-by-step guide. Find out more at emilyafrancisbooks.com and buy Healing Ourselves Whole at Amazon.com now.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. Again, if you're just tuning in for the first time because you love our guest, Neil Donald Walsh, I invite you to come back and listen to my show every week. We're here every Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern, and it's 7 p.m. in Malta and the Mediterranean Central Eastern Standard Time, Central European Standard Time. All right, Neil, I had a question, and I mean this because I have dealt with fear of death and dying since I could talk. I came into the world afraid of death and dying before anyone ever talked about death and dying. And I find that when I meet people that are really on a path and a conscious path with God, I always have to ask, do you carry that fear?
No, not at all. In fact, I've just completed a book, which is going to publishers here, I would imagine, in a couple of months. And the book is called God's Joyous Invitation. Subtitle,
yes.
Put Death to Death.
Wow.
And so the book is about putting the idea of death to death. That is, setting aside the notion that we die. Because in the sense of us simply ceasing to exist, death is not real. Our body in its particular form may cease to function in the way it has been functioning, but who you really are, which is of course not your body, who you really are, which is your soul, lives forever. It has been living forever, and it will continue living forever, and it will return after what we call our death. It will return to the realm of the spiritual. It'll be going home to God. I wrote a book about this called Home with God. So the answer to your question is no, I don't feel death at all. I don't fear in death and dying at any level. You know, and I have to share with you, if I could, an anecdote from my childhood. I was a young man. I wasn't a child. I was around 15 or 16. When my mom passed away, she left us relatively early in her life. She was 63 or 64, as I recall, but she had some, you know, health challenges, and she left us. But we were each involved, each of us, meaning my brothers and I and my father, we were each involved in her passing, and naturally we were close to her. But toward the end, we were allowed to speak with her for 5 minutes each. She was in the intensive care ward of the hospital, so the doctor said, okay, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. We were each given a five-minute visit. During my five-minute visit, my mother said something to me that to this day I've never forgotten. She looked at me and she said, oh, sweetheart, don't cry. She saw that there were tears in my eyes. She said, honey, don't cry. You must make me a promise. Two promises. Number one, take care of your father. He's a good man. Number two, dance on my grave.
Wow.
She said, I know where I'm going. I know what's going to happen. I'm going back to God. I'm going back to my Creator, who's going to welcome me and embrace me with all the love you could possibly imagine. Dance on my grave. Promise me? And I looked at her and I said, yes, Mom, yes, I will. And you know I did. a few months later, I went to her grave. I had to fly across the country. She was buried where she had lived all of her life, in Wisconsin. I was living in California at the time. So I flew back to Wisconsin, and I went to the cemetery where she was buried, and looked around left and right to make sure no one saw me, because I didn't want anyone to accuse me of being incredibly sacrilegious. Sure. But when the coast was clear, I actually got on her grave and did a little tap dance, did a little soft shoe. And I said, "This is for you, Mom. God bless you. Dance on your grave." I promised I would, and I did. And because she instilled in me an idea of celebration, so no celebration, I mean, at the idea of going home to God. So you know what? No. To answer your question, give you a long-winded answer to a short question, I have no fear of death whatsoever. But I do have an idea that I'll be celebrating. And I want everyone around me, and I've told my family, my darling wife and all of my children know the words I want on my gravestone. I said, "Please promise me you'll have these words engraved on my gravestone." My wife said, "Absolutely, it's a promise." And so the words on my gravestone will be, "Now that was fun."
Oh, that's great. That is, you know, it is fascinating. I love that you were working on a book that I didn't know you were working on about this subject, because I was 13 when my dad died, and I would go to his grave and just lay all over it. You couldn't get me out, which is why my mom buried him so far away, because she was afraid they wouldn't be able to get me out of the cemetery. But I had a spiritual teacher pass away, and she planned her whole funeral, and I'm the only idiot that shows up in black. And everybody's there in these bright colors, and everybody held hands from her casket around to a circle, and people could hear her. And so somebody was, like, giving the eulogy, and she was like, "All right," she's telling me to hurry it up. And at the end of the funeral, they lifted her casket up, and they did the Rocky song. Da-da-da, da-da-da, and they carried her out like that. But she had it planned all the way to a T, and I have to say it was the most wonderful, beautiful experience I have ever encountered celebrating death, ever.
I'm glad you had that experience. It makes my heart lighter, and I hope that everyone who's listening to this program can really pay attention to what you're hearing. Death is not a moment that we should feel bad about. Now, and I'm not saying we shouldn't feel sad about the loss that we are experiencing, of course. We wouldn't be human if we didn't feel the loss of our loved one. But we shouldn't feel sad for the so-called departed. And we shouldn't feel sad for ourselves if we are near our own death. But to know that life is, in fact, as it has been advertised, life is eternal. Now, here's the good news. Not only is life eternal, but there's no such thing as a negative outcome following our death. That is, I was told in conversations with God very directly, hell does not exist, nor does any being called Satan. It's all a figment of our imagination. It's a part of the cultural story that we've told ourselves, that we've allowed ourselves to believe in so that we might have some exterior sense of control or judgment. But it turns out that God is neither judgmental, condemning, nor punishing. So, guys, you take a good listen to what you're hearing here and celebrate not only your life, but celebrate your departure from this particular experience. And then, by the way, know that if you want to come back and do what people call reincarnate, you're given that option. You can choose to reincarnate and come back into a different body at a different time in a different place and experience more of what the physical realm has to offer. That's just my understanding. I could, of course, be wrong about all of that, but I don't think so.
You know, that makes me giggle because I lived at a yoga ashram. I did a yoga teacher training, and I lived in an ashram, and we were learning about a Hindu ideology and reincarnation, and I said something. My teacher was talking about how we would like to exit the wheel, and not reincarnate. And I said something about that I do want to reincarnate. And he goes, well, congratulations, you just made that happen. And it was like the way that he said it was so funny. We have one more commercial break.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Yeah.
So don't go away, folks. We'll be back in just a moment.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
If you have low vision or are blind, then listen up. There's now high visibility trendy sports clothing available just for you. At AwareWolfGear.com, you'll find attractive, stretchy, warm hoodies, headgear, leggings, even kids' wear to fit the duality of blindness, the need to be seen without drawing needless attention. Check out these trendy clothes for yourself or for someone you know at AwareWolfGear.com. That's AwareWolfGear.com. AwareWolfGear.com.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. It's Emily's Energy Corner time, which means nothing right now. Usually, if I do it by myself, it means I can talk about anything I want kind of off the cuff. But I do the whole show off the cuff anyway, and I'm keeping Neil on because he's too fantastic to let go of. So thank you, Neil, for staying with us and finishing it out. And I want to ask a question regarding what we just talked about before we jump into the last part. And that is just for other people that are listening. If they have a loved one that ended their own life, you are saying the Conversations with God says they're still celebrating. There's no hell. They didn't go to perpetual fire. They've moved into a spiritual safe haven, if you will. You tell me.
More than a safe haven. Not just a safe haven, but a place of pure love, total joy, eternal bliss, and marvelous experience of who we really are. A direct encounter with our own divinity. That each of us, I'm told, is an individuation of divinity. And when we return to the realm of the spiritual, we experience that fully, completely, and absolutely. However, we may decide to return to the physical realm, because the physical realm is not someplace that's not part of heaven. In fact, the physical realm is also part of heaven. I'm told that we exist in the kingdom of God at three levels. The physical level, or what I call the realm of the physical, the spiritual level, the realm of the spiritual, and the realm of pure being, which is the first two combined. So those are the three aspects, what I call the Holy Trinity, frankly, of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. God did not design God's kingdom as a place where we would just be minions serving some treacherous ruler that if we disobeyed, we'd be punished with everlasting damnation. I mean, can you imagine being damned to everlasting torture because of something we did in the infinitesimal short period of time over here on earth? I mean, compared to eternity, even if you lived 150 years, compared to eternity, that's like a 30 seconds compared to 1,000 years. So why would God punish us for eternity, for something we did for 30 seconds, I mean, comparatively speaking, in relative terms, because we made a mistake or even did something that is, you know, was a violation of what we claim to be God's commands and God's demands. So I got to share with you what I was told in my conversation with God. God is pure love, and pure love needs, expects, requires, and demands nothing in return. We can't even love the person on the pillow next to us that way. At least most of us can't. Because we think that love is a quid pro quo. I'll give you this, you give me that. But if you stop giving me what you're giving me, I'm going to stop giving you what I give you. Because after all, it's a trade deal. Like nations have trade deals. But God says, no, that's not what love is. And my love for you is not a trade deal. You don't have to earn my love. Nor do you have to worry about my eternal damnation. I love you not if, I love you because you are my beloved children. And that's my understanding. That's my awareness. That's the clarity that was given to me. And that's what I want to share with all of you. Thank you for giving me the chance to bring that message to you. And if you don't embrace it, that's okay. You know, maybe you don't agree. Maybe you think, no, Neil, you're going to hell. Neil is going to hell for saying such a terrible thing. And you know what? It's George Bernard Shaw put it perfectly. George Bernard Shaw said about hell, well, all the truly interesting people are there anyway.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you one more then, because I asked you about people that end their life themselves. But what about the young people? What about the babies and the younger people that we feel like they had a whole life ahead and they don't get it, but do they get to reincarnate, or like what are the options?
Sure, of course they do, because the soul isn't 2 years old. The soul is thousands and thousands and thousands of years old right now. So when that soul, even if it's a 2 year old child or a young baby, you know, when that soul returns to the realm of the spiritual, it of course assumes its completeness. And it's thousands and thousands of years, in human terms, of awareness and of life itself. So, of course, it can decide to return. It's even, not only can it decide to reincarnate, it can even undo its own death. Wait till you hear this. What God said to me was, when you do the thing that you call die, the first decision you make is, do I want to stay dead? Or do I want to undo that last act and maybe continue living in this particular body, in this particular lifetime for a bit longer? Doctors across the world, of course, will tell you about miraculous recoveries that people have made. Even people on the operating table who have been declared dead. And then the nurse says, doctor, he's got a heartbeat again. He's got a heartbeat. And so we can, in fact, come back in this particular lifetime if we don't feel totally complete and feel like, you know, no, there are a few more things I really wanted to say or to do in this particular lifetime. So not only can we reincarnate, we can come back to life after our own so-called death. So that's what I've come to understand about the whole process. And when you ask the question, what about small children? Can they reincarnate? Of course they can. And the process of our life is eternal. The soul lives forever and even forevermore.
Is there ever going to be a time when on the spiritual realm we're going to know all these different lives? And then if we do reincarnate, would we know them too? Like, is there ever going to be a point where we don't always have to wonder and we actually know where we were or where we came from in the last time?
Some people have experienced that right now in this day and time. many people have. It's called déjà vu, or at least that's one version of it. The French call it déjà vu. I've been there before. I've had that experience. I've not only experienced a previous lifetime, you know, in my mind, I've had the experience, but I've been to places where I was in Munich a few years ago to give a lecture, and I was walking down the street with my wife, and I said to her, honey, around the next corner is the most beautiful building. It's an incredible architecture. It's two stories high with pillars. You're not going to believe how beautiful this building is. So she said, how do you know? I said, well, let's go see. We made a left turn, walked two or three blocks down, and there was a building. It was a government building, a library or some kind of a government structure. But it was exactly as I had described it. She looked at me astonished. She said, how could you possibly know that? You've never been to Munich before. I said, not in this lifetime. But apparently, I've been here before, maybe even lived here before, because I knew that building was right here. So that's called déjà vu.
Isn't that amazing?
I've done it before. And also, by the way,
hello?
Let me tell you this. When I first put my eyes on my wife, the first time she walked into the room when I met her as a total stranger, I said to myself, oh boy, here we go again. We've done this before. And my wife and I have come to agree. We've had previous lifetimes, and we're not making it up. We're not imagining it. We know we've had previous lifetimes, and that we're never going to part again. Even after we both leave this particular incarnation, we're going to continue our partnership forever and ever.
I love that so much. I actually feel that way about my husband, too. We changed our marriage vows to make sure that they didn't have an ending for that reason. Neil Donald Walsh, it has been such a pleasure to have you on. And please, when the next book comes out, will you come back on the show?
I'll come back whenever you ask me to. Thank you very much. It's very kind
fantastic.
Of you.
Thank you so, so much. You mean so much to me. Thank you for being here and for kicking off 2025 in the most beautiful way for All About Healing and Healthy Life Radio. You guys that are listening, make it a great week.